time for In and Around the House with Tony Wirtz and Ernie Brown. Got a question? Call us at 749-B105. Now, let's join Tony Wirtz and Ernie Brown for In and Around the House.
I could do a little island trip right now. That would be fun. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Ernie, and Happy New Year. Everything's over and done, and we're ready to move on.
Yes.
What do you think?
Into the new year.
Into the new year and into the island.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. Hope you had a great holiday break. I know I did.
I did as well. Thank you. Yeah.
Wanted to take a hammer to that alarm clock this morning, but, you know, I guess I'll get reused to that thing going on.
I got up before it even went off. Both
you
my
were
phone,
eager to get here, weren't you?
I was. I really was. it was nice being down for a couple of weeks, but at the same time, it's nice being in here in the studio with you.
Yeah.
And old Johnny over there. Happy New Year to you, buddy. I'm ready to turn the page, the corner. New year, football season's kicking off with playoffs and so forth today. What more do you want?
Well, I can't really think of anything. Well, that's a lie. I could think of a lot of things, but probably shouldn't share them here this early in the morning.
Why not?
Did you get a little rest? I know all of our floral shops were just overwhelmed during the holiday season, and it's one of those things where everybody needs everything right now, and you guys have to go above and beyond. So after that,
it was a wonderful holiday season, you know, from a personal standpoint and from a business standpoint. So, you know, it was, people were optimistic. They were happy. They were joyful. They were spending. They were having get-togethers with the family and friends. And we were busy. Yeah. And I'm very fortunate and very thankful that we were busy. And you know, talking with some of our local leaders, those who have florist and garden centers that remain open throughout the holiday season, they were busy as well. We sold out of Christmas trees. Everything was good.
Yeah, I came down and got the very last tree on Christmas Eve, I think, didn't we?
I don't know what day it was. I remember you stopping in.
Yeah, it was
you
Christmas
had that,
Eve.
Pulled out that cardboard sign, "We'll work for a tree." I don't know what day it was, but I remember it.
It was Christmas Eve, and I came down, and you were kind enough to cut the top off of the last tree that was there. And for the life of me, I'm missing the name of one of your co-workers down there. Who
Todd?
Was Todd. And he looked at me and said, "Hey, what are you up to?" I said, "I can't wait to come down and see if you had any trees left." He goes, "Well, nothing like waiting till the last minute." He said, "Well, you know, it was one of those situations where we had a lot of stuff going on, and Lisa wanted to finally decorate for the grandchildren."
Right.
We have such a large family, and everyone, oddly enough, had, and I know a lot of families go through this, that there isn't just one day where everyone can get together. So we had to string out our Christmas celebration over 3 or 4 days, and and we had some health issues with Lisa's mom and dad, Mammy and Pappy, during that period. So it was the last moment. Lisa said, "I think I am going to decorate." And so she just got up and was in that mood and said, "Would you mind going down and see if Tony has any trees left?" And I reminded her, I said, "Well, sweetie, it's Christmas Eve." I don't know if there is, but you guys were kind enough to help me out with that. And I brought it home. She got it decorated. The grandkids came over, and it was a wonderful time.
Well, which one did you use? Because
she used both of them.
Oh, you used both.
Yeah.
After we had cut the top out of the one tree, I got to thinking, "Hey, you big dummy, I have a small tree in a stand that was in the warehouse."
Yeah, and that went in the kitchen area where everybody seems to gather through the holidays, and then the tree topper that you cut off for me went into the picture window on top of her grandmother's table, which is her favorite place to decorate.
Mm-hmm.
Put up a tree, and then she got everything out. We're thick on snowmen and Santa Clauses.
What's that mean, thick?
Heavy? I mean, heavy. We're heavy. Or I could say we're fat with Santa Claus.
I like that better.
And snowmen everywhere. My mom's favorite were snowmen. And so we got to chuckling about how when you don't get that stuff out but once a year, it's amazing how you open up a box and go, oh, I forgot about that. There it is.
Right.
And it's got to have a specific place for it.
Now, where are you in the grand scheme of things as far as taking things down and packing things away?
She's excellent with that. All that was done New Year's Day, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Kudos to you. That's awesome. You know, it's the reason why I ask, because yesterday I thought, we had a couple swags up, one on the front door, and a couple underneath our coach lights, you know, right there at the garage door. So I thought, you know, I'm going to take these, got to come down.
Yeah.
And unbeknownst to me, you know, it was early in the morning, and it was still relatively dark when I was doing this, actually. This poor little bird, he's been roosting in our swag on the front door every night.
Wow.
You know, and I thought,
hate to do this.
And he flew over to this little weeping larch tree that I have, and he just kept a chirping. It's like, I was trying to interpret, what are you telling me, buddy? You're telling me, like, what are you doing?
He was saying, don't take it down. Don't take it down.
I know. I felt kind of bad, but it's like, you know what? I can't leave this big piece up with a red bow. It's over.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's a great thing to do with people who have purchased live trees or Christmas trees that you can take them. And we talk about this every time, this time of year, every year. Take it outside and tie it to another tree or to a post and let those little birds use that for a while and then dispose of it in the spring.
Absolutely. They'll roost right in that tree, and it will serve a huge purpose for those little guys during the winter months. So that's a great idea. Also, if you don't have the room to do that, nor do you want to do it, check with your local municipalities. They're picking up trees for people that they can take those to the recycling area and grind those up and use them as a mulch.
And so, I was unaware of this, but Thursday, I'll have to look this up. It was either Thursday or yesterday was the official National Take Your Christmas Tree Down Day. There was a designation of this is the day that you're supposed to have it down and decorations put away. The 12 days of Christmas are over and, you know, time to get ready for Easter.
How long has that been in there? on the books?
I don't know. I guess we could look that up.
How long has that been on the books or on the calendar?
I'm not really certain.
I never knew there was such a day. Yeah. As a matter of fact, do you know Dr. King, the chiropractor up in Park Hills area?
I know of him.
He will leave his tree up almost going into March.
Yeah.
He always leaves it up definitely for during Mardi Gras.
Is that right?
Yeah, he really does. And I was like, really? So I'm like, oh, that's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
And it works for him. That's the only person I've ever talked to that will leave their tree up that long.
Well, we've got a lot of ground to cover, and we've got a lot of things to refresh your memory. It's great to be back. We had a wonderful holiday break, and thanks for joining us in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. When we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit of progress I've gotten done in my basement and a couple of things. Tony did a little chemistry kind of action. We'll talk about that, too. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. It's great to be back after a long holiday break. And we got our first caller of 2017.
All right.
Laura in Hamilton. Good morning, Laura. You're doing a little remodeling in your basement, too?
Yeah, I guess you could call it that. Actually, it's a repair job.
Yeah? What got damaged?
Well, I had that flood going on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of where I got started, too.
Uh-huh.
When we just had those torrential downpours.
Don't you know it.
And so what do you had to tear out some walls, apparently.
Yeah, I'm in the process of demolition in it.
Uh-huh. And your question was, you're looking for pet-friendly paint. What kind of pets do you have?
I have a cat.
You have a cat?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And what are your concerns there?
Does it really chew on things that are painted or what?
What's that?
Does it chew on things that are painted or?
It chews on plastic.
Okay.
And so I will have to, knock off the basement to him.
Okay.
But the smell.
Okay. You're worried about
the VOCs and yeah. paint.
Yes, the and good, for myself also.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The good news is most of the paint, if not all of it these days, are odor-free. And any paint store that you need to go to, it will be happy to send you a low or sell you a low odor paint. The only time you might have some issues with that is if you're going to paint anything with an oil-based interior paint, like trim. A lot of people still like to use oil paint on trim because it just really is more durable and it.
I'm not worried about that.
Okay, so for the most part, go to your local paint store, either a Sherwin-Williams or a Porter Paints or PPG
store. Okay, I've got a Sherwin-Williams by me.
Great, and just stop in there and ask them, tell them that you want a low-odor paint, and they'll be more than happy to hook you up, and you won't have any worries.
Now, I have one more question real quick.
Uh-huh.
What about the floor? You know, I was scraping it up, uh-huh. you know? And it's got, well, apparently, prior to me buying this house, they didn't notify me that they had painted it before.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And so it's got paint that I'm trying to scrape up.
Okay.
So that the other paint will adhere to it.
Right, right. So
or should I just lay down some carpet and then paint the part that's not as much?
Well, there's a couple of ways to approach that. You may want to seal that off. And again, you can get that at your Sherwin-Williams store. But you've got to get all that loose stuff up first.
So, with all that paint remover?
No, you wouldn't have to use paint remover. If it's adhering to the floor already, then more than likely it's going to stay there. But if you've got some peeling or flaking paint, you'll need to rake that up just a little bit, you know, scuff it up and then
use a shop tool bag. A store where it has a razor blade on it, pretty thick.
Right. And then once you get that up, go back to your your Sherwin-Williams dealer, and there's concrete paint.
Concrete paint.
Yes, and it serves as a good sealer too. But you'll need to etch that area, and that's also the product that they'll sell you. And you put that in warm water, put it down, and it helps remove any of the grease or oil or anything that might have settled on that floor.
Oh, good.
And then put down the floor paint. And you're ready to go.
Thanks so much.
Okay. Good luck, and take some pictures. Post them on our Facebook page. We'd love to follow along.
I will do that. If I can't learn how to post it, can I just send them to you?
Sure, sure. In and around the house at B105.com.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm, bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that's the hardest part about that is if you've come in and someone has just put down a product on the floor and walked away from it, then if they didn't do it properly, you mm-hmm. are sort of stuck.
Mm-hmm.
So the best way and the only way to really do that is to roll up your sleeves and tackle it. Get that
Well, I like about you, Ernie. You're tough as nails. Roll up your sleeves. Go right at it. You know, you're the painter around here. I've seen you in action.
Yeah, and she'll be happier, much happier if she does it. That's the plan that we have for our basement.
You know, I think there are some paints out there, too, that are called Echoes paints
uh-huh.
that are just for that. But, you know, like you said, pretty much I think most of the paints are pretty safe today.
Sure.
In relation to what they used to be, you know, I kind of miss the old lead paints. You know, I used to chew on that a little bit. That's what's happened to me over the years. It's had some toxic effect, but the lead I prefer, you know. You're not right.
You just could use a little lead in your pencil.
Yeah, a little. Yeah. That was the objective.
It's really interesting that Laura called this morning because that's exactly what I did over the holiday weekend.
Mm-hmm.
My wife Lisa and I got to laughing. We haven't gone out and celebrated New Year's Eve for many years. She quit drinking 6 years ago, so there's no really interest in for her to go out. And every New Year's Eve, we kind of look at each other around 9 o'clock or 9:30 and go, "Happy New Year! All right, I'll see you in the morning." So we decided that, that was going to take that holiday and start tearing up my basement, which has been a never-ending project, and got an awful lot done. We're going to be posting some of those pictures in just a few minutes.
Hope it's not as long as the wood pile.
No.
That took
almost 2 years.
Yeah, it was pretty long.
But we thankfully, we've had an awful lot of firewood to burn, and there's been a fire in the house for the last 2 months. So it's wonderful. It's cozy. But we got a lot done. Going to post some pictures about my rip out. I moved all of my stuff out of my bedroom basement and then started tearing out walls. And I'll tell you that story coming up in just a few minutes. We need to pause in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. First day back for us in 2017. Thank you so much for joining us. We're covering a lot of ground today and talking about some home projects. And Tony's going to be chiming in, too, with some of his chemistry experiments. He was
you're talking about
doing mixology
experiments. It was pretty simple. We'll talk about that later. I don't want to draw attention to myself, Ernie. This show's all about
of course,
you.
Yeah.
This show's all about you.
Well, that's how I spent my New Year's, was ripping out my basement bedroom. It took me most of all of New Year's Eve to get everything out, and then started just tearing stuff up.
I think we ought to go on TV as well. Not just the air, but the television.
Oh, yeah.
World. Because, you know, this is a reality show right now that's going on in this basement. I want to hear more about it. You know, it's not the Kardashians, it's the Browns.
Well,
go ahead.
It was one of those things, and we've mentioned this before. Mm-hmm. And when I was a brand new homeowner 28 years ago when I bought that house, I think a lot of people made the same mistake. I could do a lot of this on my own. This was long before, I guess, you really had to maybe plan ahead. It seemed like a good idea at the time, and all of my buddies that I was hanging out with thought it was a good idea, so we started. And there were some mistakes were made, but it's been plenty of time. We got plenty of use out of that room, and it was time to upgrade it. You know, we too had some of those water issues back then that Laura was talking about, and so we decided to go ahead and remodel that. Moved everything out. The great news is I now have a big, beautiful bedroom, which is where my family room was downstairs. I got a fireplace in my bedroom and the whole nine yards. It's going to be hard to move back into the room that I get remodeled, but we're posting some pictures on Facebook. It's one of those things where I thought, okay.
So you're taking us into your bedroom now.
I am going. Yes, I am. I am going to get this done. So, got the claw hammer, the pry bar, screw gun, and gloves, mask.
Backhoe? Did you bring the backhoe?
I didn't bring the backhoe. No. I had the safety glasses on. Started ripping and tearing. Got the sidewalls down, then tore the ceiling out, and started pulling the electric wires, the excess wires out. And that took all day.
Did you wear your gardening gloves?
No, but I got some brand new leather work gloves, which were really handy. And it did take me all day just to get everything pulled down. And so got up the next morning, which was New Year's Day, and decided that was the time to get it all out of the house. You know, the demolition part is a lot of fun because you get to, I guess, work out a lot of frustration. I may have invented a few more profane words along the way, but I got it done.
So you've been frustrated lately.
Thank you, Dr. Phil.
And, I'm just listening.
So I got it all out to the driveway, all the big pieces of drywall, the broken 2x4s and the 1x, old light fixtures. Cause the sanitation workers or the garbage people do work on that Monday, you know, New Year's Day. The following day is our garbage day. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to stack all this out. And I did it in parts. I took half of it out and got it all nice and neat. And my wife, when I came home the next day, I said, oh, no, all that stuff is gone. Mm-hmm. That poor guy at the garbage truck, I bet he's mad. We should leave a gift out there for him. Lisa goes, it was a young woman. I guess this girl had been training, and this was her first day on her route, and I had old rolled up carpet, old rolled up padding. And if you remember back on that day, it had begun, began to rain. Mm-hmm. And so all of that stuff was saturated. So we're planning.
Good job. Good job.
Well, get a breaker in right, you know.
Speaking of, like during the holiday season, do you give your garbage man or your recycle man a card or anything?
Well, that was the plan.
And
I just missed her. You know, I got there and she was already gone. So
I just hand him an Andrew Jackson, and that kind of helps, goes a long way.
Is he on the $5 bill?
20, isn't it?
I don't know.
Lincoln's on the 5.
You got the big bill.
No, I don't have the big bill. But why didn't you just get a hopper?
What?
Sounds like you needed a hopper.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why Johnny and I were laughing earlier. The 2 or 3 days it took me to tear all that stuff out, get it picked up, get it out of the house. I got up the third day thinking, I'm going to start maybe, you know, I'm going to spray it down with some bleach and water, kill any mold that might be there. I couldn't move. I couldn't lift a finger. I was sore from head to toe. And so I just laid on the couch and watched football all day long.
Well, it sounds like you're pretty active.
Yeah, we did get an awful lot done. We have some of those pictures up on the Facebook page, and you can follow along.
I'm not going into the brown bedroom.
Well, it's just a big empty room.
Oh, okay, it's
right
empty.
Now.
All right, yeah. All right.
And so now we're still in negotiations of where everything is supposed to go. You know, where my idea is sometimes not exactly where the wife's idea is, and so
all I can say is this. I don't mean to interrupt. I have some connections with Netflix, and I'd like to make this a series. Is there any way, shape, or form we can do this?
I'm certain.
I think it'd be big
if there's money involved.
I think it will take us over the top.
Yeah. So we're gonna, when we come back, I'll tell you a little bit more about some of that deconstruction and reconstruction, I should say. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a minute. We'll be right back. Welcome back. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Got those pictures up on Facebook, and the demolition has started in the bedroom downstairs. And I know a lot of people also have projects. My boss here at work said, oh, I saw some of those pictures on Facebook. That's how you spend your vacation during the winter? And I said, well, yeah, it's because if the weather's nice, I want to be out on my bike. I want to be out riding, you know. So it's winter. It's time to get all this stuff done so that when riding season comes along, I'm out on the old Blue 92 instead of trying to work around the basement. But one of the things you'll see is what everybody suffers from when they have a basement living space is that the threat of a little mole getting in behind your wall. And that's what prompted this was, you know what, let's go ahead and tear this out and get started. So I've removed everything, and I'm sticking it all the way back to the wall. And now the cleaning process has started, and we're going to get rid of the little black mold that's down at the bottom.
I keep a little bit of that.
No.
Just as long as it's in moderation. You're okay.
And there's a bedroom window there that I'm seriously considering putting glass block in.
No, leave it there. You can sneak out at night.
My big bucket is not getting out that window.
All right.
You know, so that's the next thing I think I probably want to get somebody in there to help me with that is to figure out how to put glass block in there. But, you know, we're going to start the bleaching cleaning process to remove any, a little bit of that thread of mold. And I had one by or furring strips up and a vapor barrier. And again, this is a new homeowner mistake that a lot of people will make. You get a couple of guys over, you have a few refreshments, and he goes, oh, no, I do this all the time. Don't do that. This is the voice of experience here. Get a professional in. Get the right thing done first time around. So we're going to go back in with 2x4 studs, insulate the walls, and again with a vapor barrier, and then put up some new drywall and change some of the lighting and stuff around.
What will you use as an insulation? So you're going up against concrete foundation?
Yeah, I'm assuming that, you know, I'll just put that R, is it R19? Maybe we can get one of our construction friends to give us a call here.
Well, that would be the R value, but would you, you know, I've also seen, you know, and again, this is not my arena.
Yeah.
But I've seen where they've used the...
foam core.
It's like a foam board with an aluminum facing.
Right.
Something like that. I don't know what the R value would be, but again, that's not my area to get out on the field on. But
yeah,
that's interesting. I'm just curious because, you know, I know there's moisture that comes on, you know, through that wall, that foundation wall. And especially in your situation, if you've had some water issues, I was just curious. I don't think you'd want to use anything that's... fiberglass type of product with that paper backing.
Well, you know, I thought about someone going back with some of that flex steel.
Yeah, there you go. I like it. And now that's the only I know. You can get that at Walgreens, I think,
can't you? Tony always gives me grief about that flex steel stuff. And every time I see that commercial, I just crack up laughing. But the objective is we're going to go ahead and seal that wall off with some water protection and then go with the installation. But I'd love to hear if we have a construction expert, what they would recommend putting it back in that insulation because, we've got a little way to go.
Well, I think you're better suited if you're using 2x3s or 2x4s versus that smaller fairing strip.
Yeah.
But that also allows you to run electric there if you need to, and et cetera. But, the insulation element would come into play for me. I would be really trying to do my due diligence and see, you know, what's going to best be suited.
Right.
But I have no idea.
Well, this just broke my heart to finally make this decision. And the family room, one of the things that sold me on that house was that beautiful old tongue and groove knotty pine paneling, you know, that's staggered with individual pieces. It's just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. It's been there now for 30 some odd years. Mm-hmm. I think the house was built in 61, and I absolutely love it. But after tearing out those walls down in the bedroom and seeing that there's a little bit of that mold issue there, I'm certain that it's behind that paneling. And, you know, in 1961, they didn't insulate that family room either. So I've kind of come to the decision that I'm going to go ahead and take the rest of that down, and we'll probably just put back drywall in the family room as well.
Yeah, you need to find the source of the mold issue. That's for sure.
Well, that's been cleared up with the water thing. When we poured that patio, put those extra drains back, we haven't had a drop there in years.
Good.
So that's been fixed, but now the repair part, and that's what I told Laura when we were talking about that, this is where you have to have the initiative to do it right the first time. So now I'm taking all this all the way back to the wall. Let's put it back correctly and make sure we don't have any issues there.
I'm in.
You're all in?
I'm all in.
But it did break my heart about that paneling.
Well, sometimes you have to do what you have to do. So
yeah, you're right.
And you can always put that back up. That's that knotty pine, right?
Yeah, it is.
And then... would you condition something like that, the knotty pine, if you were to put any type of a stain or that Minwax? Use Minwax?
If I can get it off the wall and if there isn't any mold damage behind that,
put it back up.
I would seal it, polyurethane or whatever, and put it back up after I insulate it behind that wall
again. Mm-hmm. I just remembered when we did our back room and I used that tongue and groove knotty pine.
Yeah.
I did a little research and because of the knots in the pine, you had to condition it so when you would put the stain on, it would go on evenly.
Right.
So, that's all I can tell you. I certainly don't know what you know when it comes to painting. That's why I rely on you.
Well, it's a great little project, and and I just got a text from my wife Lisa who said she's listening, so I know that she's already making her plans too about this whole negotiation about where everything's going to go downstairs. It's been a lot of fun, you know. I lose most of those negotiations, but, hey, I'm in there swinging.
You can always take it to arbitration.
Would you be our arbitrator?
No, because I like Lisa. You wouldn't like
you
me.
You don't like me? 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. When we come back, we're going to hear a little bit about Tony's mixology.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about some gardening resolutions.
And mixology.
Give us a call, 749-B105. We'll be right back.
Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We had those pictures posted on my little project downstairs, or one of the many projects, as we refer to it at our house, the never-ending project. But that's part of being a homeowner. The most important thing is make sure you do it correctly the first time. You know what the old man used to always say? You got plenty of time to do it right the next time. So don't cut any corners. Don't skimp. Take the time, do it right. So before we get to the gardening thing, tell me a little bit about your mixology.
I really want to save this for another time.
Well, we'll talk about it again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it was New Year's Day. It was a couple of days before New Year's Day, and someone happened to pick up a really interesting book for me that was published, authored by somebody here locally in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And she's well known for her concoctions and her drinks and her mixology experience, so to speak.
Yeah.
And it's Molly Wellman. And I've heard Molly on other radio shows as guests, and she's awesome. But, you know, as I was going through this book and everything I was reading, I'm just like, this is really interesting. It's really interesting. And it's just drawing me in. And the name of the book is Handcrafted Cocktails. So actually, let's just take this little bit of a segment, and this is our around the table, so to speak. But very interesting. But I did this drink that she had in here. She's categorized some drinks: morning drinks, afternoon drinks, evening drinks. Well, this is obviously New Year's morning, New Year's Day.
Uh-huh.
And the one I kind of went after was one called a Noggin Cleanser, because I thought, you know, That kind of makes sense. I want to clear the old noggin, turn it into the new year after going through all the holiday stuff. I thought, how appropriate.
Yeah.
So, and what's really cool about Molly Wellman's book is this. If you've not picked this up, this was given to me as a gift. It's a must have. But she has a lot of different little recipes in there, and one of them was a simple syrup recipe for this Noggin Cleanser drink, which is really 2 ounces of gin, a half of ounce of fresh squeezed lime juice, and a half an ounce of a simple syrup with cardamom in it.
Yeah.
And that's an herb or a spice, and you take the seeds, and I did this simple syrup, which is really easy, by the way, and it does make a huge difference when you're using fresh ingredients. So I thought, as you're talking about this, I like to keep this for a different show, but maybe if we can get Molly in to join us, that would be even better.
Sure.
But the old Noggin Cleanser, but what was interesting, this simple syrup, you know, it's 1 cup sugar, 1 cup water. And what I did, purchased some cardamom seed pods, opened them up and took the individual seeds. And in her recipe, she uses 25 seeds per recipe.
Right.
And I ground those up in a mortar and pestle bowl and put them in with the mixture. And it was pretty cool. It had a different flair, a different aroma to it. I liked it. And I like those kind of things, you know. And right now in the drink world or in the food world, it's all about infusions and flavors and taste and bringing the natural element into it.
Sure.
And cardamom, you know, is a interesting spice. I guess it would be a spice because it's a seed. But or you can grind it up. I don't know. It comes a powder, obviously. But I think those elements all come into play when you're using things that are grown or other plant elements. But when you smell cardamom, most people seem to think that it has a lemony kind of flavor,
mm-hmm.
which I guess that it does to a degree. But my the way my olfactory bulb was working and smelling it was, it smelled to me like Vic Salve.
Oh, really?
And I kept thinking, So Vic Salve, maybe that's how that comes into play with the name for the drink, Noggin Cleanser.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's my mixology class for today, as Ernie was pointing towards that.
Nice.
But nothing big.
And did it make you feel better?
Of course. Of course. Anytime that you can do anything of the sort like that, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really, I'm gonna try and reach out and get a hold of Molly and see if we can have her on the radio with us one morning and talk about some things. I think she's like a part owner. I'm not really sure what her role is with Japs, which is a local bar here in, over the Rhine, and another bourbon bar. And, you know, she's even done some of her own bitters. And I understand she's had classes before doing bitters.
I love that.
And the bitters are kind of neat because they come into play with one of my favorite drinks, like an old-fashioned, you know, the old Angostura bitters and all that good stuff. So hopefully we can, like, pull this into play sometime here still early in 2017 and see where it goes. But everybody, you know, we occasionally enjoy a little libation.
Great way to start the morning.
That's what I think. As long as I don't have to work.
It's like my ugly buddy Russ says, you can't drink all day if you don't get an early start. Maybe we'll have her come in one morning.
And I did finally meet your old ugly buddy, Russ.
Yeah, he's a gem, isn't he?
Yes, I agree.
If we get a chance, maybe we'll have her come in one morning, you know, maybe around St. Patrick's Day or something like that, you know, where take a little bit of the edge off.
And, you know, for me, our show is built on the premise of supporting local businesses, and she's involved with local businesses. She's a local leader, obviously, in the community here in Cincinnati, and I just was enamored with the book. I was just drawn in, and it started out like this, Ernie, and it made a lot of sense. She went on to say that every bar that she would go into, and I don't mean anything bad by this because I'm one of those that, you know, I belly up to the bar, perch up, and I'm glued to ESPN or I'm watching a game. And that was just her point. You know, we always have the TV going. We're always watching ESPN. Mm-hmm. But we're not really enjoying ourselves with our friends and you know, having a drink and doing all that.
We're
without
not
the
engaged.
TV. We're not engaged. Right. Mm-hmm. So that even extends itself even to the old cell phone. Everybody's all up into these cell phones. Mm-hmm. So there's other things that we can do just to socialize without all these other distractions. I like it. Reach out to her for me, will you?
Okay, I will. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. When we come back, we're going to talk a couple of things, too, we want to point out. Since we had that snowfall, what do you put on your driveway and walkway to get rid of the
ice?
I'm
with you. We'll talk about a little bit of the ice melt comparisons.
And also some stuff to start thinking about your garden and your flower beds, too. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, and covering a lot of ground. We had some snowfall, and for some people it was ugly, awful, brutal, and others it was just simply a dusting. I was surprised how many schools got closed right away.
Oh, you know, that just gets my goodness. It really does.
Don't
you know, with the Holmes High School,
I
was in the Covington system. I'm going to kiss my bicep here. We never closed. Even during the severe winters of the 70s, we were still open, full-fledged.
Yeah.
I mean, and you would listen to the radio in the morning, and you're up next to it, and you're in the kitchen, and you're like, come on, Jim Scott, say Holmes High School, Covington Independent School. Never.
Never.
Never. Never. But, yeah, it was a nice snowfall. It was, it was kind of peaceful. It was a little tranquil. And, you and I both now have snowblowers.
Yes.
And I thought, okay, I just bought this snowblower from my former next door neighbor.
Uh-huh.
And, so when you do things like that, it never snows.
Exactly.
It's like if you take your umbrella to the ball game, it never rains.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyway, we got the snow, and I don't know about you, but for me, I do not like to drive on my driveway until I shovel it. Because all of a sudden, when you shovel later on in the day, there's those tire marks.
Mm-hmm. And it compacts it.
And it, you know, I don't always get, you know, I'm not always Johnny on a spot where I get to get it up before I drive over it. And that bothers me.
Yeah.
As simple as that sounds or as goofy as that sounds, it just, it does. It gets my goat.
Well, we were down at the garage yesterday as we wrap up our work week, a bunch of friends of mine, and my buddy Keith Hollingsworth turns around and goes, you guys ever talk about what you put on driveways and walkways and all that stuff on the show? And I said, you know what? That's a great idea. We just had our first snowfall.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try to cover some ground there on that.
So, when you said that to me, I thought, you know, how coincidental, because I was thinking the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we all do as homeowners? The first thing, we buy rock salt.
Yeah.
Sodium chloride. We buy sodium chloride. And that's because most of us, when we buy an ice melt type of product, we're buying on the premise of how much is that going to get into our wallet.
Mm-hmm.
That's the least expensive.
Yeah. Right.
However, now you chime in anytime, especially if you have a newly poured concrete driveway that's less than a year old. Don't even consider using rock salt.
See, now that's interesting you point that out, because that's what prompted the conversation. He had just poured a new driveway for his father-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife, I guess, turned to look, said, well, what did you tell Dad to put on that concrete for the snow? And he goes, well, I hope he doesn't put anything down. And sure enough, what had happened was that Dad, being Dad, said, well, I got to get this off my driveway. Goes out and threw some rocks on.
Yeah, so, that's not good.
Keith got him to brush it off right away so there wasn't any damage done. But that's
right.
That's something a lot of people don't take into consideration. You get a new driveway or new walkway poured, and in the first winter you want to put some of that stuff on it, and you can't do it.
Well, rock salt is what I call for bargain hunters. And it's got its place, don't get me wrong. And here's the other thing, too. This really bothers me, is that the other day, I see these big trucks, perched up next to the entrance ramps to the expressways and so forth, like the big white death is on its way.
Yeah.
And they're just calling for, a possible dusting, maybe an inch or so. And, they use, I think, an excessive amount of salt, and especially going up the street sometimes. But you know what? Your car tires is picking that stuff up. It's bringing it onto your driveway. It's bringing it into your garage. And over time, it does have an element of, where it starts to erode or work on the concrete surface. But there's nothing we can do about it. I'd rather the streets be safe than not safe.
Right.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But, a lot of people like to turn towards the calcium chloride, which you're familiar with, which is minimal to moderate concrete damage. Not as bad as rock salt, I don't think. But the effective temperature range versus rock salt is a lot better with the calcium chloride. You can go down to minus 25. Whereas rock salt, sodium chloride, you're around 20 degree range, where it's most effective. And, a lot of people, too, what comes into play here, our friend, was it Laura that called about the environmentally safe paints?
Right.
There's some things here, too, that we want to take into consideration, our pets. There's different things that you can think of as well. And try not to let your pet, out on those areas because, especially dogs, and cats, they're always
licking their paws, cleaning themselves.
Absolutely.
So, that's interesting that you bring that up, because I wouldn't have taken that into consideration, thinking, well, the pets will be smart enough to get away from that stuff.
Yeah.
Thing. No?
like potassium chloride's safer around pets. And, however, it doesn't have as good of an effective temperature range as the calcium chloride. Also, too, this is very interesting as well. Just standard urea, some of those products that you find in our standard fertilizer bags for the lawn. I've heard of people using that before on their driveways just to merely get traction.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But at the same token, if you're to do something like that, which is, it's best for people who like the garden, because there's an element of that that will kind of just wash off into the turf, along the sidewalk or the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
It's still okay for pets. But I would caution you, if you're to do something of the sort, just merely for traction. Again, it's not it's not the best, and it's minimal, if any, non-existent, any concrete damage. So that's the benefit of it as well. But, again, the temperatures need to be like 25 to 30 degrees, where it's got a little bit of effectiveness to
sure,
it.
Sure.
So that's just your standard urea, and that's safe for pets too. But use something that has zero phosphorus in it, because, again, we want to keep the phosphorus from getting into the water and flowing down the curbside or the street and getting into the the watersheds, the streams, and so forth, because that's not always really the best thing for aquatic life.
Sure.
But that's a... Who was asking that question?
Keith Hollingsworth.
I was just thinking about that the other day.
Yeah. Do you pre-treat when you know a big snow is coming, do you walk out and throw some stuff out there ahead of time?
No, but, now that you say that, maybe we can get Lisa to make us a big old potpourri of salt brine and pour. I don't know if that even works. That would be a really good question for somebody that works for one of the municipalities or the Department of Transportation that does the pre-treatment with the salt brine.
Yeah.
Do you find that effective or not?
Yeah, I think, you know, especially since my driveway descends into my garage, mm-hmm. if I know there's going to be a lot of snow coming,
mm-hmm.
then I'll go out and throw some rock salt out there ahead of time. And then it makes it a little easier to get rid of or to get that up. Now, that was before I got my, you know, fancy-dancy snowblower.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't care. I'm gonna get that baby fired up and walk around.
This is the truth. This is the honest truth. I have never, in the 20-something years I've been in my home,
mm-hmm.
ever put anything on my driveway.
Well,
nothing. Mm-hmm. Rock salt, calcium chloride, potassium chloride, none of it. I've never put anything on my concrete. And I still have the original driveway today.
Wow.
From back then when we built.
Nice. You know, it's one of those things where you don't take that in consideration until sometimes it's a little too late. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Again, take a chance to look us up and like us on Facebook. We got a couple of other things we're going to be talking about, too. And, you know, there's a lot to be taking into consideration about your lawn equipment, those sorts of things. We need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And it is great to be back. We had a wonderful little holiday break, and I got some stuff done around the house that I've been putting off and putting off. Tony got some things done around his house.
I have been.
And it's been wonderful.
Yeah, this is a perfect time, too, you know, for the avid gardener or the novice gardener. Or if you're thinking about, you know, getting into it and, you know, enjoying more of it throughout the season,
uh-huh.
This is the time when you start planning for things.
Sure.
You know, the seed catalogs are arriving. And when I see that, I'm like, I get stoked.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to thumb through everything and think about the seeds that I want to sow, what I want to start. And a lot of times, too, you know, what I want to grow for the very first time or whatever it is I want to purchase from a local garden center or nursery for the very first time. Don't feel compelled to do the same thing year after year after year after year like my aunt. I love her to death. And when I say that, you think that's funny?
I do. But that's because I know your aunt.
Hey, this is her window box. Bless her heart.
Yeah.
Red geraniums. Okay, sometimes a little alyssum and vinca vine. Aunt Bonnie, is that it? Yeah, but it always looks so nice. You're so predictable. But, you know, there are a lot of people that do that. They stay with the old true tried and tested, and let's not get off the road. But there are a lot of plants out there that are available at the local garden centers and nurseries during the spring annual season that will spice those boxes up without you having to do the same thing year after year after year. But anyway, I get stoked this time of year, like I said a second ago, when the gardening magazines are coming in and I get to thumb through it. And Ernie, this is the time that you need to start thinking about your garden.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to get in it and work right now. That's the beauty of it, because it's cold outside, which I need to get an Al Sleet update from you here shortly. But
okay.
This is the time we plan. And this is the time we reflect on what went well for us this past season and what didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really important. And right now as well, I can't say this enough. You know, take this opportunity during the winter months to take your lawnmower in, your string trimmer, or your leaf blower. And I just took mine into our good friends the other day at Bud Herbert Motors. And I was talking to Jim for a little bit. And he said they had a great season last year, and that's what I like to hear from our local leaders.
Sure.
But I'm already at it. You know, I'm and typically you and I go down there and do that, and I know that I got a couple things coming up, and I don't want to try and coordinate you having to come by with the van and so forth. And I don't want you to feel left out. I don't mean anything by that. No.
Yeah, I've been cast to the curb.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, we can go over there and let our equipment fight and get gnarled up and entangled with one another.
I do need to get my mower in there, and I'm afraid I'm going to get lectured. I hit something. I noticed I had a ding in my blade
when I was cleaning
it out.
Right. You know, just make sure everything, you know, the gas lines are clean. Let them just tune things up. Change the spark plug.
Yeah.
Sharpen the blade. And if the blade cannot be sharpened, and let somebody that knows what they're doing with the blade sharpen it. It needs to be balanced.
Yeah.
That's so important. And if you can't get the blade sharpened, obviously you need a new blade. So do what you have to do so you have good equipment as you're taking care of your lawn and doing all that good stuff in the spring and summer months.
Yeah, I think I will get that done, too, because it's very important. we have a lot of our listeners who unfortunately will wait until the last minute and then want to get their lawnmowers serviced or their rototillers and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
leaf blowers, weed eaters serviced. And then the places that do these things get stacked up.
You do. And if you're going to be, if you're going to procrastinate and put it off to the very end, you're going to be, you know, it's like first in, first out is how I look at it.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you have some pool with somebody. But, yeah, if you take it in last minute, you're going to get it last minute. You might wait a couple weeks before you can get your mower back or something seriously needs to be done to it.
The guys over at Bud Herbert do a great job.
Awesome.
And always been fantastic to us. Here's what to look for outside. It is going to be cold overnight, cold during the day. So, you know, keep this in mind. We're going to see sunshine for the next couple of days, but high temperatures will only hover in the 20s today and tomorrow. We'll get up to the mid-30s on Monday, but overnight low will be 5 tonight, 8 on Sunday, 12 on Monday. And then it'll warm up a little bit. We're going to see some precipitation with temperatures climbing up into the mid-40s. And surprisingly enough, this will stun you. Next Friday, it's going to be 55, maybe 60 degrees.
I'm all in. It will melt those little tire tracks where the snow is on your driveway. That's what that will do.
Lisa and I were watching the news last night, and we saw this forecast, and she just looks over and goes, are you kidding me? It's going to be 60 on Friday.
Now, here's what you're talking about is very interesting, to say the least, because here's what we've been experiencing thus far.
Mm-hmm.
We have these deep cold snaps, you know, where we get down into the single digits, and then all of a sudden we climb back upward, and like you're saying, 50s.
Yeah.
That is what's hard on plants.
Right.
That yo-yoing, it's like dieting. You know, you go up in weight, you come down in weight. You go up in temperature and come down in temperature. That is what's detrimental and very tough on root systems of our plants.
Uh-huh.
That's why it's important to have your plants properly mulched as you go into the winter months. It's keeping the ground constant as best we can. We say that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I never took that into consideration, but you're absolutely right. You know, that's why it's important to mulch, why it's important to make sure that you get the bulbs out of the ground that need to come out.
Oh, you should have had that done long ago. Those are your spring bloomers.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And, well, not necessarily the spring bloomers, but the summer bulbs that you put in that aren't hardy.
And you mentioned the seed catalog showing up, too. I can imagine that there are going to be some of those bulbs that are going to be available. They'll be featured in the catalogs that here's what's coming this spring. We got to get our friend from...
Jerome Meinfeld.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll get a hold of Jerome. He's always more than willing to come in and join us and talk about those things. And he's definitely an expert when it comes to all the bulbs. He worked on the farms over there in Holland.
He should.
Yep. You know, he should. But also, Ernie, I also want to not stop with the you know, the maintenance element with our lawnmowers and our string trimmers and our leaf blowers. You know, our other gardening tools, the ones we use, you know, primarily with our hands.
Pruners,
shovels, rakes, all that good stuff. Now's a good time, you know, if you have a flathead shovel or a round-headed shovel, you know, take a file. If it's bent up on the end, take a file and, you know, file that out. Make it, you know, sharpen it up.
Mm-hmm.
Clean your tools. Get all the dirt off of it, all the mud, anything that's crusty on it. If you have some wooden handle tools, clean that up as well. Just take like a little fine grit sandpaper, go up and down the wooden handles, wipe it off, and then take some linseed oil and wipe on those wooden handles. It keeps them nice.
Oh.
You know, even with your wheelbarrow, you know, check the tire pressure. You know, a lot of times when we use that wheelbarrow for the very first time, you put something heavy in it, and guess what? The tire is flat.
Chicken butt.
That's right.
So you can do that treatment right now? It's not too...
You always
bring that up in the fall.
You know, I always clean my tools.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that don't. And if I'm over someone's house and, you know, they're like, hey, can you give me a hand with this? And they pull out these tools that look just filthy. You know, it's like a guy wearing a suit with dirty shoes. I'm like, really?
Do you lecture them?
No, I don't. I'd like to, but I don't. No. It's hard. You know, I might say something.
I can see you going, look at this.
This is nice and clean.
Yeah.
This is really sharp where the edge of the shovel is bent up. You can't work under those conditions or like that.
Yeah, you're killing me, Smalls. But we'll talk a little bit more about that. And Tony also had a little bit of an adventure we're going to share with you in just a few minutes. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment and we'll be right back. Welcome back. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we've been covering a lot of ground. Great to be back and having some fun here. And Tony, tell me about your trip to get some herbs and spices and stuff. Is that what you were doing?
Well, I kind of, you know, I'm getting into some different types of, I don't know, concoctions and cooking. I don't know why all of a sudden. It's been a long time. I've kind of been removed from it. But,
yeah,
you know, as I'm reading through things, you know, there's people who suggest, you know, these are must-haves in your pantry. You know, you got to have these things on deck.
Mm-hmm.
So when you want to go into something or start coming up with some recipe, you know, you got these things on deck, you got them on hand. So I was at a store here locally, and, you know, I'm picking up different wine vinegars and so forth. And I noticed that, and rice vinegar is always a staple in a lot of different dishes. And I saw this rice vinegar that was just plain, and I saw another one next to it that was seasoned. And and both of them, you can distinguish between the two by the color. So okay. They were a little offset in color. And I'm thinking, and I don't have my glasses.
Okay? And so, nothing worse, trust me.
Oh, really? So it's either you can see and drive or take your contacts out and be able to read the label, maybe the ingredients, et cetera. But I didn't have my glasses. So anyhow, I'm looking at this rice vinegar, and I happen to ask this Asian guy. I'm like, hey, you know, can you tell me the difference between the seasoned rice vinegar and just a regular rice vinegar?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you stir fry with this one. Okay. What's in it that's different? I don't cook. Okay. And I'm thinking, thank you. Appreciate it. So I'm still going through the store, and I'm putting things in my cart. And I happen to see this employee around the Asian food section. And, I was in there for a while. And she was setting up some things. And I thought, you know, perhaps I'll ask her.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, excuse me. You know, I have a question about rice vinegar. I said, nothing big, but, you know, I noticed there's a seasoned version and there's an unseasoned version. I really don't cook. I don't know, but I know who knows. I'm like, okay,
great.
So, you know, I'm
going to get an answer.
Looking around, you know, waiting a couple of minutes, and I look down the aisle, and lo and behold, who comes around the aisle? The Asian fella I just asked about 20 minutes ago. So as he's coming up the aisle, I'm thinking, you know, this is a Seinfeld episode. I'm so embarrassed. And he goes, I already told him what's in it. I was like, buddy,
I've got to go.
I know, but you told me you didn't cook. You use this in stir fry.
Oh, okay. My God.
Yeah. So I, as soon as I saw him walk around the corner with this girl, I thought, oh, my God, he thinks I'm an idiot. But it was funny. It really was. It was a Seinfeld episode if I ever seen one. And
I'd love to have been a fly on the wall there.
And you know, it's things like that that happen to me that is funny. And I got to, you know, while we're on this subject, I got to be really quick. I want to tell you another story. I was at the airport trailing out of town, and I was next in the queue, next in line to get a cup of coffee.
Uh-huh.
And this lady next to me just walks up and she goes, I just want to ask him a question. Sure. So she asked this guy a question, and all of a sudden, he's pouring her coffee and getting her all this stuff. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. So I look at her, and I was next to be waited on, and I looked at her, and I said, ma'am, I said, you have to be from New York. There's no doubt about it. And she didn't say anything to me. And she gets her stuff, pays the guy, and then, you know, I'm like, thanks, buddy, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get my coffee, and I go on down. And, a little bit later on, I board the airplane. And as I get to my row, guess who's sitting next to me?
The rude woman that checked
me. The rude woman that checked me in line. And you know what she said to me?
Yeah.
This is all she said to me during the whole flight. And by the way, I'm from Alabama. That is the truth. Yeah, so, you know, you just can't make that up. She's right next to me on the plane. What are the odds?
That's how it works. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We've been covering a lot of ground. You've got all that Christmas decoration stuff down. Now's the time to do it. Last week, what was it, John? The 6th? It was yesterday. The official national day to remove your Christmas tree, and that was because it is the 12th day of Christmas. We celebrate that holiday, and now you should have everything down. Although, on the way to work this morning, I still saw Christmas lights out and on.
Well, I certainly wouldn't be out in the weather today taking them down, that's for sure.
They'll wait till Friday when it's 60.
Yeah, there you go.
You might as well.
And there will be a lot of people that won't take advantage of that weather.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I got a, I did get a nice message many years ago when those hanging icicle lights first hit the market.
Mm-hmm.
There was some white and blue, and then there were multicolors, but you couldn't get really, I guess, one specific color.
What, with the icicle lights?
Yeah, this was when they first hit the market.
Were they just clear?
Clear and brand new. I mean, very few people held them, and I knew right away what I wanted to do. I wanted all blue. And so this is, again, why we always talk about shopping locally. I went up to see Rose up at Crescent Springs Hardware Store,
mm-hmm.
and I asked her, I said, I really just want the blue ones, because we can't do, you know, this is how they come packaged, you know, there's some clear, and then, so I had to wait, I think, until the following season, and they started producing the blue ones, and man, she was kind enough to help me out, ordered all blue, and I decorated the house in all blue. Well, everybody made fun of me because it was, you know, one of the goofiest things I guess they ever thought.
Mm-hmm.
And now those blue lights are everywhere. And I got a message from a friend, and it said, I remember you were well ahead of the curve here back in the mid-80s or late-80s when you insisted on doing all blue lights. And I still like the way that looks, you know.
I'm with you. I always knew deep down you were a trendsetter. I really did. You know, that's why we get along so well. You know, just those things I know about you.
The reason I brought that up is because when we were cleaning and removing all this stuff, going through the house, purging, I guess, is the best way. Lisa said, there's a bag up here that I don't know what you want me to do with. And I got up in the attic, and guess what was in it? All those blue lights. It hadn't seen the light of day in years.
Blue Christmas right there.
Yeah. I'm kind of interested to see if any of them still work 25 years later. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We've been talking a little bit about the home repair. We've got those pictures posted up on our Facebook page where I've ripped out the bedroom downstairs, got some work going on.
Mm-hmm.
Tony's always got stuff going on.
Not like you. Not like you.
No. And this is what's funny about that is, in my feeble old mind, I'm still the agile young man that I used to be until I tackle stuff like this. And I was telling John, our producer, earlier, I said, man, I worked for 2 days straight down that basement, tearing all that stuff out, carrying it out to the curb, getting it ready for the garbage, picking it up. And the third day, I couldn't move. So I just laid on the couch and watched football.
I understand. Been there and done that. But I think that's really, in the past, in your ballet era, I think that's really set the stage for you today. You wouldn't be able to do nearly what you do today had you not taken ballet back then.
I think you're right.
Yeah, that's my humble opinion.
I should probably get started in yoga just to get loose and limber.
I'm with you.
Tony, we have Mary on the line from White Oak. Good morning, Mary. Thanks for the call. What's going on?
Well, I just got a question. I'm 80 years old, so I've always got questions in these modern days.
I hear you, sister.
Well, I see all this advertisement about blown-in insulation. I've got an old house that's probably over 50 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a new train furnace, so I know I got a good furnace, but it just seems like the walls, you know, it's like a two floors, and the second floor feels warmer than the first floor. And the walls are just always so cold. I can put it on 70 and still it feels chilly in here. And when I see that advertisement, I think maybe that'd be a good thing. And then one of my sons, he said, well, how would they get into, like, the where all the wiring and everything goes if you ever have to have a repair? Do they have to tear all of that out then?
Well, not necessarily, because just like with standard insulation, when they put it in between the studs,
mm-hmm.
You can always, you know, there's what we call fish tape that you can take things through up and down the wall if you're doing anything electrically, if you're running new wire. And
okay.
For the most part, if you're worried about anything from a safety standpoint, too, keep in mind that, you know, there's government standards that are in place to keep things like, you know, when they manufacture insulation, it's fire retardant. So that's,
okay.
You know, from a safety standpoint, that's good. But what I wanted to tell you, first and foremost, give our good friends from Arling House Heating and Air a call.
Uh-huh.
And let them do like a home assessment. And ask for Brian. And what they'll do, they have devices. They can, like you're talking about, the temperatures of the wall.
Yeah.
They can point it at the wall and get temperature readings
okay.
and different things. And I would kind of start there. What is the exterior of your home made of? Is it a
brick.
Siding? It's brick. Okay. But I would start there and try and identify the areas that need to be concentrated on. Ernie, what's your flair?
I think so too. And again, you know, those guys that do the blown in insulation can give you a much more accurate answer. But Tony's right. I wouldn't be concerned about that at all. If you do have an issue where that blown in insulation is going to go in, it really wouldn't be much different than the sheets of insulation that are there. If they have to do a repair, there's only going to be a small portion of that.
Okay, well, my son, he had me thinking, you know, I'm thinking, well,
sure.
You know, you try to fix one thing and then you got another problem. Maybe, you know, that wouldn't be safe, you know, to have that all blown in, you know,
right.
That way.
No, I think you'd be fine. And, again, there's all of these ideas where, especially for older homes, but as even my house, which is was built in 1961, a lot of the walls weren't insulated.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how much you try, you can't get that warm, you know. So
yeah,
I completely understand.
Well, when my husband was still living, he even thought about putting siding over the brick. And
uh-huh.
I said, gosh, I said, my parents always made that sound like you had such a nice home if you had a brick house.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, now you want to cover it? But he said that was the only, right back in those days, that
sure.
was the only way to do anything, you know,
mm-hmm.
to just put the insulation over
right.
the brick.
I certainly wouldn't hesitate if it's, first it's going to save you on your heating and cooling bills. You know, it's going to make
mm-hmm.
the house, resale value is going to be a little higher too if it's well insulated. So I wouldn't hesitate.
But that product's pretty expensive, isn't it?
Well, I don't know what the cost really is, but Mary, do you have a pen handy?
I can get one real fast.
Yeah, we get a moment. I'm going to give you Arling House's number, and then get a couple different recommendations. You know, just don't, if you're seriously going to do this and consider it, you know, get a couple of quotes and estimates and have people explain to you what they're going to do in the whole process.
Well, what kind of company does this? Arlington is like a heating and cooling
company, isn't it? And Brian can also recommend somebody that would do the insulation part. There's a number of insulation companies throughout the tri-state area, I'm sure. But I would have an energy like assessment done and just see where you're losing things based on, you know, experience from the guys with the heating and air.
Mm-hmm.
I know
when the furnace first comes on, you would think the air conditioner's on because, you know, I guess the pipes are so cold down in the basement that it takes it, you know, several minutes before you actually feel heat coming out.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you said something is totally opposite from my house. You said your upstairs is really hot. My upstairs, you know, is a little cooler.
That's the way it used to be, but then mm-hmm. I had a bat situation, and they pulled out all the old, you know, that fuzzy kind of insulation and blown new insulation. So
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that's what makes that warmer upstairs now.
Right.
So thank the bats.
Sometimes they're good guys, and sometimes they aren't.
Okay, I do have a pen.
Okay, it's 859.
Mm-hmm.
838-9168. That's Arling House Heating and Air. Mm-hmm. And ask for Brian and just see if he'll take a moment or have somebody just assess, you know, the comfort level of your home. Sometimes they can just go ahead and make some simple modifications with the vents and so forth throughout the house. Sometimes they'll install dampers in the vents to lessen the airflow or increase it in certain areas.
Really? So
maybe that's all it might call for. But just have a couple of people, professionals, take a look at it for you.
Okay, and I should tell them that you sent me.
Yes.
Oh, please do so. They're great guys. I have, yes, integrity all the way.
All right. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, Mary. Good to hear from you. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Have you broken your New Year's resolution yet?
No, I haven't made any.
Oh,
I don't make one. I'm not that kind of a person. You know, like there's people that say, oh, January 1, January 2, I'm going to the gym. I'm getting on the treadmill. I'm getting on the bike.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, February 6th, hey, I haven't seen Luann, have you? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So I think I like resolutions, but I don't. And but it really boils down to setting realistic goals. If they're unattainable, then if you think they are, then they truly are.
Right.
So
right.
Make them attainable. Do those in short increments. But, you know, I always like to ask people, do you have any gardening resolutions for the upcoming season?
Do you?
That was good. That was like right on cue.
Yeah. I think I'm, you know, the ones that we tried and didn't succeed at were moving in other areas. But
when you say you mean plants or?
Yeah, like the one garden. One year we tried to do a little gardening in the back of Pappy's yard, and it just didn't work because it was at the bottom of a hill, and all the water that ran from the bottom of the hill just washed everything away over and over again. So we have abandoned that idea. And I think we're going to clean out the other bed that was on the, you know, right behind their porch and probably do without that.
I thought you were finished.
Let me go right ahead.
No, I don't want to interrupt you.
We probably are going to try to relocate. There's a pear tree and an apple tree that just aren't doing well where they are, and we might try to relocate them.
Got it. I think one thing, if I were to do anything personally, you know, if I was to set any type of a gardening resolution for me, and I think this would also apply to a lot of other people because I've heard of this happening more often than not, is not to buy too much at one given time when I'm at the garden center in the nursery. I think, you know, tackle it in such a way where you take home what you can put in the ground. Because a lot of times homeowners, they buy quite a bit of stuff with these great ideas, but all of a sudden get distracted and they're leaving things in the pots. I'll just put it in the garage. No, don't do that. Put it in the ground.
Yeah.
Well, I'll watch these. You know, I know we're looking at maybe a possible frost next Wednesday, but I'll just keep them in the garage. I'll water them in the house. No. Those are resolutions I think that gardeners need to set forth. You know, get over that way of thinking. Like, I got to buy it now because you won't have it later.
Sure.
But only buy what you can actually do at a given point in time. And I fall victim to this sometimes. Sometimes, you know, I'll get a couple of perennials in the garden center, and I'm thinking, you know what? I like to have you dudes down in my backyard. I think you would work out perfect. And to give you an example, it was a Rudbeckia called Maxima that I took home. It was late last year.
Uh-huh.
And they are still in the gallon pots. So I've got them protected, but I should have had those already planted in the ground. And that's a really cool Rudbeckia that the foliage is totally different than the standard Rudbeckia that we're common to seeing all the time, like Goldstrom and so forth, or Little Susie vignette. But it gets this real tall, spiky flower on it, and the finches just love it. But I fell victim to that, and I fall victim to what I just said when I'm trying to preach, not to buy or bring home too much than you can handle.
Probably the truth there is sometimes we get our eyes are bigger than...
It's like going to the, to the smorgasbord, to the buffet. Yeah. I've seen you in action. Yeah. But I think that's one. I think, you know, watering. If you're the kind of person that's like, oh, I'm not going to pay for the water,
mm-hmm.
I think you end up paying at some point in time, and that is getting things revamped or reestablished.
Uh-huh.
And that costs you time, that costs you money. If you do it yourself or if you have somebody come in and do it for you, it costs you even more. So I think watering the lawn or just the plants in and around the landscape in general is extremely, extremely important. And some people have to let go and say, hey, it is more economical to do that than it is not to.
Mm-hmm.
Can you think of anything?
No? That's pretty much it. I've got all these other little projects going on down in my house. I need to finish those things first. But, we have that beautiful porch that we spend an awful lot of time on. We may be doing a little more work out there on mm-hmm. that. But I don't think I really have any gardening resolutions.
No. I think another one is, fertilizing at the right time or taking the time to fertilize some plants. Because, if you think about it, if you have containers, that you have annuals in, maybe a mixture of annuals and perennials,
mm-hmm.
or perhaps you have, window boxes. A lot of us have window boxes.
Yeah.
And, or hanging baskets in particular, especially hanging baskets. Think about this. Every time you water, and if you're watering hanging baskets daily, like you should check those daily, not only are the plants taking in nutrients that are of value to them, but at the same token, you're flushing nutrients through.
Right.
So therefore, we need to replenish. So I think, fertilizing is very important. And using a good fertilizer, too. I'm not all about the green box, that's all I'm going to say. There's a lot of other good products out there. And that's why it's important that you go to a local garden center or a nursery and... consult with those guys. Consult with us. There's a number of different approaches that you can use. But fertilization, I think, is very important as well. And what I said earlier in the show, too, I was talking about my poor aunt. Well, she's not poor, but my Aunt Bonnie. just does the same planting year after year after year. Don't be afraid to mix it up. And take notes.
Yeah.
Keep a garden journal. That might be a good gardening resolution to do. Keep a good detailed journal as you progress throughout the season, especially if you do a lot of vegetable gardening. You can take notations, of like what the weather was daily. Did it rain? Was it overcast? What were the temperatures? When did you start experiencing some insect issues with the eggplant last year? For example, flea beetles, they're all over them. What did you do? What didn't you do? So I think these are things that we need to take into consideration and look back on and reflect. And say, I know when this was occurring, keep an eye on it.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect example, too, of taking notes and putting them in your journal is as much as we'd like to think, mm-hmm. I can store this up here, I can remember that, I won't forget that.
Right.
Too many other things enter your mind, and then suddenly you think, hey, when did that happen? What was the issue there? So it'd be really a great gift idea, too, mm-hmm. if you have somebody coming in with a birthday coming up or even just a thinking of you kind of gift, get them a journal where they can start writing things down.
And it's funny you say that because I have a good friend down the street, Scott Stinson, and he, one day he's like, I listen to you guys every Saturday. You don't have a gardening journal. You don't write anything down. Scott, I do. There's times I'll take notes because I want to kind of get an idea. What was going on when and in what period of time. Now, everything doesn't always happen at the same time because what we have in the green industry is what we call growing degree days. For example, when we talk about spraying fruit trees, a lot of that has to do with where the fruit tree is in its development as it starts to warm up and the buds start to swell open and all that other good stuff. And when mm-hmm. it's in bloom, it doesn't happen at the same time every year. It's all in relation to where the temperatures are as we progress through the spring months. But we can get a pretty good idea after a certain number of growing degree days what typically happens. But those are things that are very important as a gardener, be it you're a novice, a professional. Those are important elements.
7.9 B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Take the time to look us up and like us on Facebook. You have some pictures posted of my little project downstairs and how I spent my New Year's Eve. We're talking about some gardening resolutions and some lawn care resolutions. We need to pause. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We've been talking about a lot of different things, getting the new year off in fine form. Do want to bring up something. We're giving away a 4-pack of tickets to the 96th Annual Syrian Shrine Circus at BB&T Arena at the NKU on Friday, February 3rd. The tickets that we're going to be giving away will be good for that day. The Shrine Circus is that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Now, are you partaking in it? Are they shooting you out of the cannonball, or are you on a trapeze?
No, I'll be there. Friday night is the Masons Parade, where all the Masonic lodges will get together and parade through the circus to open the circus. And then I'll be serving as the ring announcer on Sunday.
Big time on Sunday. In this corner, we have Ernie Buffer, Michael Buffer.
But I just cracked me up that image of me coming out of the cannon. I'm not sure they have a big enough net.
Well, you know, or heaven forbid, if they shoot you through the side of the building, it'd be a big hole.
It'd be that the cannon would go off and I would come just to the edge and trickle out. You know, not enough black powder, I guess.
How funny. We'll
have a question for you coming up a little bit later on, but please support that circus. It's a great, great event for a fabulous cause to help support the Children's Hospital. The Shrine Hospitals and all the great care that the kids get.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's a great deal. That's very important.
And you have a gift card we're going to give away also?
Yeah, you know, I have a little trivia question. I kind of want to lead into talking a little bit about some trees and maybe even some of the champion trees that are here locally in the tri-state area, right here in our own backyard at the wonderful Spring Grove Cemetery. But the other day, I was reading about a few different trees, and one of those is the Osage orange tree. Do you remember talking about that in the past?
Yes. One of my favorites.
And what else about that tree that's interesting?
It's
a big old hedge apple, big old horse apples. You know, everybody.
I was thinking this is going to be a rhetorical question, I shouldn't answer. I always get those wrong.
No.
Rhetorical.
I just like to come back at you with that. But
they're great for warding off spiders.
And, you know, I also read crickets as well. And I've also read such conflicting information when it comes to all of that. So, therefore, when you go out on the internet, don't believe everything you read on the internet. But, you know, there are supposedly compounds in the Osage orange fruit apple, which is it's not really one fruit. There's a number of seeds with that apple.
Mm-hmm.
But the compounds in it are supposed to ward off spiders and crickets, and there are some people that say that it's very, very effective, and there are some that say, no, there's no truth to it at all. So we need a myth buster.
Oh.
But, you know, when it comes to that, it's really interesting to say the least. But that tree was primarily used as well for defining property lines years ago because it gets a little thorn on it, and it kind of, you know, it keeps things in check, but a lot of people used it as you know, property lines and so forth. There's a couple of national champions with that tree that's very interesting too. But the question is, it's a different type of wood. What is special about that wood that was so important to the Osage orange or to the Osage Indians? The Osage orange tree, what about that wood did the Indians use it for that was so important?
And if you know the answer.
If you know the answer.
Call us at 749-B105,
and I will give you a $25 gift card to Jackson Florist and Garden Center.
Fantastic.
What was the benefit, the main beneficial element about the Osage orange tree for the Osage Indians?
Nice. Okay. We're waiting for your call there.
You know, and speaking of trees, too, while we're on the subject matter, I also want to put some emphasis on as we're turning into the new year, I want a lot of homeowners to start thinking about, hey, if you have some landscaping plans or ideas that you want to put together and you want to implement this upcoming season, now is the time to do that. And in doing so, you're getting ahead of the curve. You're ahead of the game. and good friends of ours like Bob Bard at Bard's Nursery or Maddox Garden Center and so forth, these guys that do landscape installations, now's the time to get with them and start planning this out before they get too busy. And along with that, you know, I want you to start thinking about trees, especially, you know, in the tri-state area here, all throughout Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana. I was driving the other day, and as I was looking around, I've seen so many trees lying on their sides along the roadside. You know, I was coming down Kyle's Lane, and all these trees have, you know, gone by the wayside. And I think a lot of these trees are some of the ash trees that have weakened because they have died and are starting to fall. We need to replenish those trees that we've lost. And part of that is the Taking Root Initiative. I can't say this enough, and we've talked about this so many times. We need to plant more trees. And even if they're small trees, shade trees, fruit trees, we need to plant more trees. And we want to plant, according to the Taking Root Initiative, the goal is this, to plant 2 million trees by the year 2020. That is a tree almost for everyone in the OKI region. So we need to put a lot of emphasis on this. If we didn't have trees, I would be very worried about our communities, the environment. We need trees. They're very important. We have somebody who has the answer? Oh, not yet?
Nope.
749-B105.
In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have some people call them. We're going to get an answer for you. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And Tony posed a question. We have a $25 gift card to Jackson Florist. What was it about the Osage tree that was very important to the Osage Indians? That's what they were named after. No, that's not it. All right, who's this?
Kevin.
Hey, Kevin, what's the answer?
For their bows and arrows, maybe?
That's right. They made their bows out of it.
Absolutely. Very interesting. You know, and also the part of the bark of the tree was also used as a dye, Ernie.
Oh.
A lot of interesting things there. So the tree's got a lot of value, obviously. And there's even some medicinal values to it that I don't have in front of me. I was looking at the other day that I thought was very interesting as well. But it's really neat how plants come into play every day in our lives. And, you know, we're talking about trees and we're talking about the Taking Root Initiative and so forth. You know, when in fact, if you do plant a tree or two or three or four, go online to takingroot.org and register your tree. We're trying to achieve and obtain that 2 million trees by the year 2020. And that, again, is to almost reflect everybody that lives in the Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana area. So I can't think of a better way to manage or take care of our existing forest by planting trees throughout, promoting the healthiness of our trees, you know, getting with arborists that are certified. You know, if you suspect that you have a tree problem, is so important. And get a couple of opinions. Don't just take the first one. Get a couple of opinions. Preserving our trees is so important. You know, it increases the value of our communities, you know, and the environmental benefit of trees is huge. If we didn't have trees throughout, things would be very difficult for us to exist. They produce a lot of oxygen and they produce a lot of shade, just a lot of things that they do. You know, our homes are built of wood.
Sure.
We need trees.
Mm-hmm. And we need to replenish. You know, and, that's the important part.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we were talking about, I wanted to just touch a little bit on, champion trees. You know, there are national champion trees and there are also state champion trees. And we have a couple of champion trees in the state of Ohio over here in Spring Grove Cemetery. That's
really cool.
Oh, yeah. Huh. And as well, there are some trees in Spring Grove Cemetery that are well over 100 years old.
Nice.
A wonderful place to visit. And, for example, there's a couple of different oak trees over there that are state champions, and they are also older than 100 years old. So if you ever get an opportunity to take a drive or a stroll through Spring Grove Cemetery, it is definitely well worth it. Beautiful arboretum.
Even on a day like today, if you have to be outside and you need a little mental break, just make your way there and cruise around and enjoy that setting covered in snow.
It's just beautiful. I can't say it enough. you know, there's a couple of oaks. Like I was telling you, there's the Turkey oak, the white oak, and there's a Hungarian oak that are just they're state champions over there.
Uh-huh.
And the Turkey and the Turkey oak's over 100 years old. You know, that's just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And when a tree lives that long, they can tell such a story if they could even tell a story.
Do they do those tours still? There used to be a thing over there where they would give you tours and talk about trees and some of that setting.
You know, perhaps they may. If they do, I'm not aware of it. I know that I thought they had an evening set aside during the week for people to ride bikes through the cemetery.
Ooh.
Without there being any interference from automobiles.
Nice.
That sounds like a fun time. Just be careful going up and down some of the hills and that your brakes are working on a bike.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's very, very important. But a wonderful place. And, you know, even over in northern Kentucky, we have the Arboretum in Boone County, a beautiful place. And, you know, it's obviously not as old as the plants and so forth and the trees that are in Spring Grove Cemetery, but at one point in time, future generations will be able to appreciate the newer established Boone County Arboretum. So these are wonderful places here locally that I can't say enough about. And just check them out when you get a chance. A lot of interesting things. And what else is interesting, too, how do they determine if a tree's a champion?
Yeah, I was trying to figure that out when you were talking about that. Is there a little tree tournament somewhere, or are they undefeated? Or
well, they don't.
Won it out?
A champion tree doesn't necessarily have to run and win a race, yeah. Right? You know, we all like champions, be it a boxer or our favorite sports team. But, you know, there are some champion trees out there. And we got to take into consideration, you know, there's a formula for that, and we're using the circumference of the trunk in inches. And then we take that and we add the height of that tree in feet. And then we take the average spread of the tree and multiply it times 0.25, one, you know, a quarter,
mm-hmm.
and come up with a base points, you know, a point basis. And that's what establishes that tree as a champion if it's bigger than another tree that they're comparing it against. And a very interesting concept. I thought it was really cool. And, you know, I thought, how do you measure the height of a tree? There's different ways to do it. Or how do you measure the spread, the canopy of a tree? Because not every tree, if you're looking at it from the air down, is perfectly round. You know, it mm-hmm. might be oblong in shape.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you measure those? There's various ways of measuring that. A lot of detail to it. I am not a certified arborist or an ISA arborist to tell you all the techniques, but very interesting to say the least.
I have trouble reading a tape measure, so I can't really help you out.
I know that you do.
But that's just fascinating. I never heard about that tree champion thing before.
You know, it's been around for a while, and, you know, a lot of times that's just some of those things we don't always necessarily think about or, consider.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other day, wasn't the other day, this past year, like, for example, if I'm over Twin Oaks, those really aren't champion trees, but they're quite big and are quite old,
mm-hmm.
some of the old oak trees. And you just look at those trees, and they stand tall and the stature. And I always wonder, you know, how many golfers have they seen play numerous rounds over the years?
And they've made fun of, and they've watched you shank into the lake.
Or how many times have they seen that golfer like, my ball's over here somewhere, and they watched them pull a ball out of their pocket. Oh, here it is. You know? How many times have they seen that? How many times have they seen people like you golfing and that likes to use the old foot wedge? Oh, here it is. Not playing the ball where it lies.
Oh, that's great.
But, you know, trees could tell such a story.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. We had, what was his name, Kevin? Had the correct answer about the Osage tree and the Osage Indian. They made their bows out of it. And we still are going to be giving away a family four-pack of tickets to the Syrian Shrine Circus coming up. The tickets are good for Friday, February 3rd, but the Shrine Circus is in town Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We need to pause for a moment, and we'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we've had a little dusting of snow, and of course, a little farther north, it was more than a dusting, so to speak. And it posed the question, I was out having some refreshments with a few old buds yesterday, and my friend Keith Hollingsworth turned around and asked if we'd ever talked about what people should or should not put on their driveways, walkways, and concrete. And I thought it was a great idea, so Tony and I decided we were going to discuss that a little bit this morning. And one of the things that Keith pointed out was that he had just put down some new concrete for his father-in-law, and when it snowed, his wife asked, said, well, what did you tell Dad to put on his driveway? And Keith said, well, it's brand new concrete. Hopefully he didn't put anything down.
That's a no-no.
That is.
Yes.
That's the number one rule. If it's less than a year old, don't put anything in it.
No.
On it.
You know, and you're really referring to rock salt, which is also sodium chloride. Boy, it can do a number on concrete, especially over time. And, you know, calcium chloride's another one you might want to consider, too. A lot of people will use that. And, you know, especially when we talk about this, something on the steps, or don't use that method of going into and out of the house if you have other modes to get into the house. But you just don't want some of the utterly falling either. So there's it's kind of a catch-22 situation. I mean, you know, you got to be safe as well. And sometimes having traction and the proper handrails and so forth, it's really important, and making sure that stuff's off of your steps. But, you know, we were talking about the driveways as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can experience some minimal to moderate damage over time if you're using rock salt. And a lot of people gravitate towards rock salt because, you know, it's a bargain. It's the least expensive. And a lot of times, you know, we know that it works, but it only works to around 20 degrees or so, give or take. So keep that in mind. But don't always let the wallet determine what you purchase. That's with everything.
Yeah.
You know, that's plants, you name it, trees, whatever you do or whatever you purchase in life. You know, don't let the pocketbook always determine what it is that you purchase and when and why. But, you know, the calcium chloride a lot of people will use, and that can take you down to minus 20, 25. And, you know, sometimes if you're using it really heavily, too, keep in mind, you know, those things can damage the turf.
Yeah, and what
or plants and plants because and you don't see that happen right away. For example, there's an area there as you go up into the DeVu Park, and I think there were some issues one year with some plants. But at the same token, that was a season where there was a lot of snowfall and a lot of salt usage with the salt trucks keeping the streets clean and free from snow. So the removal guys, they're diligently doing their job. But there's a lot of overspray that goes into those beds, and it can have a negative impact on some of your plants. You know, so that's why always, too, if you're having some serious issues with plants that are near the driveway or the front street, you know, the walkway, and you use a lot of rock salt or calcium chloride, have your soil tested.
Sure.
You know, sometimes that comes into play. But going back to the driveway, I told you earlier that I've never used a thing on my driveway since I've lived in our home for over 20 years, and we still have the same driveway.
Wow.
But, you know, I just rely on shoveling.
What does Tina use?
She uses the binoculars and watches me do it now.
Just a little joke.
No, I know. No, yeah. Tina... I pretty much take care of it.
Yep. And now I wanted to ask you, if you know there's a large snowfall coming, do you pre-treat any walkways or anything? Nothing?
Not at home.
See, no.
You know, at the forest, I will, because we have customers and I'm more concerned.
Right.
You know, I got to be concerned about their safety and well-being. You know, but at home, I don't.
You know, that's one of the things that I will do is if I know there's a serious accumulation coming, I will go out and pre-treat some of the walkways and driveways around the house. And, you know, when the snow does come on it, a little sunlight will help heat that up just a little bit and make it easier to remove the snow. But all things changed when I got that fancy-dancy snow blower.
Fancy-dancy-smancy snow blower. I have one now, too, and I've not yet used it. Now, you know, the other day, speaking of blowers, I was talking with Jim down at Bud Herbert Motors when I took my stuff in to have it, you know, maintained for the upcoming season. He told me a lot of people, because the snowfall was relatively light, and not, you know, they were using their leaf blowers.
Matter of fact, I've done that before.
I've never done that.
It was a little dry, powdery snow, and you could just get your snow blower up and blow it right off. No issues.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, I do have a question.
I've got an answer for
as
you.
A homeowner, and I hear people talk about this all the time. Let's just say you don't shovel your front walk, your driveway, your steps, or what have you, and the pizza delivery guy comes over and he falls. He slips.
Well,
are you, I know your homeowner's kicks in. Are you liable if you don't do anything versus if you do something at all?
Now, I think this has gone to the court system, and it was determined that if there's snowfall, then there is a perceived element of danger already that you could slip, mm-hmm. you could slide. So that's sort of been the standard, is that common sense tells you that
now,
there's
wait,
a chance you
now,
could fall.
Does that exist amongst everybody?
Common sense?
Yeah, that's what we got to ask ourselves.
Yeah, well, not always. And there's always people who are looking to, you know, milk the system too. So,
but I'm glad we got that Judge Wapner element out of you when defining the law there for homeowners. But have you ever heard that?
Oh, I have. I have. And it can be one of those catch-22s. I got a friend of mine and a lodge brother who's an insurance agent I'm going to see later on today. I will ask him what that ruling is. We'll have an answer for you for next week.
Speaking of insurance, I got one for you. About a month ago, there was an accident out in front of our business at Jackson's. And it was a guy who was speeding, lost control of his car, and you could hear the tire squealing.
Mm-hmm.
Goes down the road a little bit. Jumps the curb, goes up into our upper lot, hits one of our employees' cars, went careening through our farm gates, up there near the Swifty gas station, the old Swifty gas station.
This guy must have been flying.
He was. And he tried to pull off and away and get away. But he had blown the tires, radiator fluids leaking, et cetera, et cetera. So you got the picture of the accident.
I do.
Well, I run up there, and I'm thinking, who is this dude? So this guy gets out of the car. And lo and behold, there are two DEA agents behind him. Now, I was wondering, are they in pursuit of this guy? And he's traveling at a high rate of speed to kind of get away?
Right.
What's going on? But the one guy that had the big drug enforcement agency medallion around his neck, he wouldn't even go near the car, the guy that was driving. Now, I don't know if he's trying to remain incognito or not let that guy know that they're DEA and maybe following him. But nonetheless, I get a call from this guy's insurance company about the damage to our property.
Sure.
So, and this was really good. The guy tells me, he goes, well, we don't know. The owner of the car has a policy, you know, an insurance policy on the car, but the driver, it wasn't his car, so therefore we're not sure if he was given permission to drive that car or how he got the keys. I said, oh, really? I said, that's interesting. And he goes, yeah. And he goes, therefore, we may not be able to pay out any claims. Yeah, here you go.
Yeah.
Deny, delay, and litigate.
Yeah.
Okay?
Typical.
Deny, delay, and litigate.
Yeah.
And I said, do you have a copy of the police report? Oh, no. I said, well, why are you calling me and you don't have all this information yet? I said, maybe I should fax you a copy of the police report. I said, as a matter of fact, let me ask you this. I said, you know, the owner of the car was in the car as a passenger. So I said, do you think that they gave that guy permission to drive that car? Well, I didn't know that. But he was quick to tell me, because they weren't sure. They were doing their accident investigation,
mm-hmm.
if they were going to pay for damage.
Doing a little fishing there.
Going a little fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you better get a big pole and a big hook. Yeah,
set the hook. Yeah, might take them a while to reel you in there, Slimbo. 749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about that never-ending project in our basement, or in my basement, and how I spent my New Year's and New Year's Day. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. It is great to be back. We both had a little holiday break and got a lot done. And before, we were talking about what people needed to do to put on their driveways and walkways. And Tony brought up an interesting point about whether or not you're liable or more liable if you shovel or don't shovel a walkway and somebody walks up and slips. And fortunately, one of our listeners, Crystal, gave us a call. And Crystal, good morning. Thanks for the call.
Good morning.
And you're in Cincinnati, and you know a little bit about the snow shoveling law. What's the story?
Ooh. I do. So the law states that if you, the homeowner, assume liability for shoveling your sidewalk in the driveway, that you're assuming liability for any dangers, because then you manipulated the snowfall and there could be ice under it, and you're basically saying this is safe now. So if someone comes up and falls, then yes, you are responsible. If you just leave it be and you don't touch it at all, then it's Mother Nature, and you're right, then there's some common sense that has to play in, and then you're not liable if they fall.
Oh, so, interesting.
Yeah, don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
Don't touch it, and you'll be fine.
So there is that perceived danger, so to speak, if no one touches it, but if someone takes the time to get it off of the sidewalk, then they're essentially saying it's safe to come onto the sidewalk.
Correct.
You know what's interesting there? She said one thing. Now, it's Mother Nature. So if it's a Mother Nature-related item or incident, then that you're exempt then, right?
Correct. You have to assume that it's a dangerous you have to assume that it's a potential dangerous situation.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you know, you assume liability for getting out of your car and walking.
Right. Do you manage property by chance? What do you do?
I do. Okay. Well, I used to. I don't anymore. I'm actually going into nursing. But, I did it for 7 years.
So now you're going to go into nursing and treat those people who fell.
Right?
Got it. I like that.
Well, Crystal, thank you so much for enlightening us a little bit.
I always wondered if that was, you know, how that really worked.
Very much appreciated, and thanks for listening. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie.
That's why I love this show, because, you know, that's what it's all about. Callers or people, you know, shedding light on something or sharing the information about a subject matter.
Well, I'm going to share a little info about my New Year's Eve project that Lisa and I...
All right, can I go take a break?
many years, it's not that we don't celebrate, it's just we don't celebrate whooping it up at midnight and all that stuff, staying all night. So we wind up getting in bed and sleeping
through the midnight celebration. Now, hold on, we wind up, going?
Right where you think it is. It's good night, sweetie. I'll see you in the morning. We've had this progress going on downstairs in the basement where my bedroom is. And we had some of that water damage that everybody else suffered through when we had this torrential rain and downfall. So it took it upon ourselves to say, look, this is the time now to just go ahead and gut this room. We gutted the old basement shower bathroom that was down there, started all new so that we were doing it right. And the reason I pointed out about doing it right is, been in the house 30 years. When there was a new homeowner, there's new homeowner mistakes that everyone makes. And it was me and a bunch of my buddies hanging out and drinking beer, thinking, we can do this. I can build this. And I know how to put up a wall. And there were mistakes made. So
imagine that
New Year's Day or New Year's Eve, I spent the entire day cleaning out my bedroom, moving all my furniture out and emptying the room from top to bottom, left to right, to make sure that I could get up early New Year's Day and start ripping and tearing, which is what I did. And tore the walls out, tore the ceiling out, took the light fixtures, the plugs, the wiring, everything out. We've got those pictures posted on our In and Around the House Facebook page. And one of the problems that we discovered is several things that I did wrong as a new homeowner, and a little bit of an issue is where some of that moisture is as hard and as diligent as we were getting that moisture up and the water damage cleared from the carpet. There a little bit of mold that had begun to creep up the wall, and it was behind the wall. So that's one of the things that benefited us from taking it all out. And now we're just getting ready to start the process of rebuilding, which means we'll have to eliminate that little black mold that's on the bottom of the wall. And then probably go in with some kills to make certain that it never resurfaces. And we'll also have to treat the flooring. And that was one of the things Lisa said, you know, if we're going to do this, we might as well go ahead and put that sealant on the floor, do the same for the walls, and then go back with 2x4 walls and properly insulate the walls. Where before, and the new homeowner mistake was I put up furring strips. I did put up a vapor barrier, which benefited us, but now we want to make sure that we get some more insulation in there and make it a little warmer room. So jump onto our Facebook page and check those things out. We've got some pictures. You'll get a chance to follow the progress. And we were laughing about how, you know, when you get to the point where you think, I can do this, I'll take care of this. I can still, you know, even though I've advanced in age from the time I got the house to now, worked on all that demolition, removal of all the debris, getting it out to the curb. And the sad thing and the funny thing is that I thought I was doing the garbage collector a big favor. Got it out there early, got it all stacked up, and came back the next day, and it was gone. But I asked my wife, I said, I meant to get here and try to help that poor guy get some of that stuff in. She goes, you're going to feel even worse. It was a woman who had just been, I guess, trained in the last couple of weeks, and this was her first week on her route by herself. So this poor little woman had to take all that stuff to the garbage truck. So we're going to reward her with a little gift next week. But follow the progress.
She's probably down in the back. she may not be there next week.
She may have quit.
You broke her back.
Now, I did, you know, in all honesty, I did cut up the carpet in smaller sections, roll it up, tied it up, including the padding that was underneath. Broke all the pieces of the drywall down to manageable sizes. So it was a mess. But then, you know how drywall is. Mm-hmm. Once you get it out onto the concrete, and it was the same thing. Of course, as soon as I got it out there, it started to rain. So that made it a nasty mess. So the following day, when I got back home, it was, I think, a 45, 50-degree day. And swept up all the stuff that was left there in the driveway, little chunks and pieces, and got out the garden hose, reattached it to the nozzle there at the house or the spigot, and hosed all of that down, and then took the hose back apart and put it inside the house. But I'm glad I did that, because there's nothing worse than that constantly tracking
that white chalky chips. Yeah.
It was ugly. It took a long time, and but finally we got all that stuff out of there, and we're ready to start anew. So what that did lead me to believe is I have all this old, beautiful, knotty pine tongue and groove paneling, which is original to the house down in the family room, and I think I'm just going to go ahead and remove that and do the same to the walls downstairs in the family room. No reason to stop at that point.
Well, I have a question. The gentleman we had in the studio with us, it was a few months ago this past year, that the basement doctor.
Yeah.
Do they do any type of waterproofing or anything inside to prevent mold, or, you know, you said you had a few issues there?
Yeah, I'm certain that they would. That would be part of their program.
Yeah, I was just curious. I thought that would be, you know, mm-hmm. It might be somebody you might want to be in touch with. And in addition to that, while you're tearing everything out, you were talking about maybe redoing the fireplace. We were talking to the guys from Bromwell's.
Yeah, you know, that's probably going to be on the plate now, since I'm going to go ahead and take down the Knotty Pine walls. Might be a chance to go ahead and...
Good restaurant, by the way, Knotty Pine.
And redo that fireplace, too. But it only takes time and money, and I've got time.
You got a lot going on. You know, you need a driveway.
Oh, yeah.
New wall.
Yeah. Well, I need it all. I just can't afford it. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys. And, boy, we've covered a lot of ground this morning. And it's, speaking of ground, it's cold out there, a little bit of white stuff on it. It's frozen. And most of us, Ernie, aren't going to get out and do anything today. But a little hint or a tip of something you might want to do, and I'm sure it's going to be warm inside. Let's go right over to the good old Crone Conservatory.
Yeah.
Nothing like being inside a greenhouse. And you smell the richness of the soil and the plants being in there, and a little bit of that humidity element's all coming into play. This is when greenhouses are at their best, you know, mm-hmm. during the winter months, not when it's hot outside. Trust me, you'll lose a couple pounds really quick. But if you're looking for something to do today, that might be well worth doing. Take the little ones out and go over to the Chrome Conservatory. Always something interesting going on over there.
What about yourself? Love that idea. Love that idea.
What are you thinking? What's on your plate later?
Well, I've got a lot of traveling to do today. Of course, I have the show, and then I have to go out to Portsmouth. We have part of our Scottish Rite, Ancient Accepted Scottish Rite Degree Day out in Socio County, and mm-hmm. meeting some other brothers, and we're riding out there. Have some degree and some master's recognition dinner, and then coming back, stop and watch my grandson, Corey. He's got a basketball game at 8 o'clock tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then I have to see what the missus has in mind, because I'd like to stop and have some refreshments with some other friends and then have her come get me.
Got it. Got it. No, I'm going to go back to the garden center. And as a matter of fact, a lot of things have been coming in. We're receiving some of our pottery shipments, some of our garden center supplies, concrete, you know, statuary stuff. All this stuff's been coming in. So we're starting to work on getting things moved around and getting things situated for the upcoming spring season, because I'm hoping it's going to be a good one. And again, all of us who have local garden centers and nurseries, we're relying on the weather. And I'm just going to be optimistic and think positive.
Sure.
Have great weekends where we don't get those rainouts.
Mm-hmm.
But primarily, that's what's going on. Yep. You know, cleaning up a little bit of the Christmas stuff, starting to put that away, inventory things, and just get ready for the upcoming season.
Now, we were talking earlier about, you know, garden resolutions or mm-hmm. lawn care resolutions. And every year we have people ask us about whether or not they should winter seed.
Oh, and great point. Yeah.
Fill me in.
Well, days like that, this is perfect. You know, when you start, you know, seeing how the ground behaves and it's freezing and thawing, that's what we want when we winter seed. But just postpone it a smidge. You know, I like to do that in February. So we're not too far away, which, on the other hand, you can get out to your local garden centers and nurseries that carry grass seed year-round. And pick up your grass seed, and just so you have it. And one of those days when it, bing, you know, you think about it,
mm-hmm.
it's like, oh, I don't have to leave the house to go do this. I already have it. So winter seeding is a very good time to sow grass seed. It's really the second best time. But I say this all the time. You know, it's perfect when all the planets are in alignment.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning sometimes you can winter seed, and if we stay in a very damp, wet situation for a prolonged period of time, that has a negative effect on that seed germinating. You know, sometimes the seed will rot. But the benefit of winter seeding can far outweigh those risks. You know, like I said, when the planets are all in alignment, you winter seed, Mother Nature is helping you, because the top layer of the surface of the soil is mm-hmm. freezing and thawing, and honeycombs open, and the seed that you applied falls down into those pockets of soil, and as the ground's moving, it protects it. So therefore, very little work on your part for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
How do you like that? Very little work on your part for the most part.
Those
say
are
that
my
three
favorite
times.
Favorite projects.
Yes.
It has very little work on my part.
But I'm glad you brought that up. However, that's on the radar, and we'll talk more about that as we get into the month of February, but it's not too soon to start thinking about that now.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I want to put a lot of emphasis on, you know, get out to the like bookstores or go online and start reading about gardening or vegetable gardening, mm-hmm. annuals, perennials, trees, shrubs, you know, map it out. And if you're trying to coordinate or come up with a new landscape design this year, be it that it's a new home that's under construction or something you want to revamp or renovate, get with your local landscapers and start planning these projects now.
Right.
Because when you get into the season and they start getting underway and they're busy, they're going to put you on the back burner, and you're going to probably be one of those that's always likely to say, well, we have a graduation party next weekend, and this has to be in by then.
Can you say that one more time just like that?
We have a graduation party next weekend, and everything has to be in and ready by then. Well, it doesn't work like that. Just a little bit of insight there. It doesn't work like that. So the better plan that you are, you're not going to run into some of those little hurdles.
Usually when those conversations start, they start with, hey, sweetie, honey,
Is that how it starts?
Yeah, yeah. You remember me forgetting to tell you about this? No, I don't.
Yeah, but I, you know, and I get really excited and stoked this time of year. We're talking about the seed catalogs that have been arriving, and, you know, and I want to point this out. The seed catalogs are really cool to order from because they carry a lot of various different varieties of tomatoes and so forth, heirloom varieties that you can order that you don't always find elsewhere. But I want you to check with your local garden centers and nurseries first to see what they have on hand. You know, we still have to consider the locals here. That's what it's about. And a lot of us that have garden centers and nurseries, we carry a really good mix of various types of seed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can't carry every type of seed that's out there, but that's when you get excited to see the seed catalogs. So do a little of both. Look for those seed starting kits. Get your seed, you know, get that seed starting soil.
Uh-huh.
Think about all of these things you want to get together. But I also want to caution you, I want you to get thinking about it. I want you to map it out. I want you to write it down. I don't want you to start some stuff now. There are some people that are.
Uh-huh.
Well, you better have the wherewithal and the capability to keep things going if you don't have a greenhouse. But sometimes you don't want to get into these projects prematurely and too early, because when you start seed inside, there's not as much light as outside. And sometimes those little seedlings get a little lanky and they'll tilt over. They're mm-hmm. They're reaching their best for light. So keep that in mind. That's very, very important.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Going to reward our listeners right now. As a matter of fact, the Syrian Shrine Circus is coming up February 3rd, 4th, and 5th over at BBT Arena at NKU. And we have got a 4-pack of tickets for you to take the kids to see the Syrian Shrine Circus. These tickets are good for Friday, February 3rd. That's important. Friday, February 3rd. And we're going to give them to caller number 9 at 749-B105. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause. We'll be right back. Welcome back. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And it's been a great morning. Tony and I had a little bit of a break, little holiday break, a little mental cleansing, if you will. Got a lot done around our house. Lisa and I have been working on projects that seem to be taking forever. But you may be thinking about getting some stuff done out in the lawn. We talked earlier about our friends over at Bud Herbert Motors and getting your stuff there early or to wherever you take it. And it's very important to get that stuff there so you're not waiting. I want to congratulate Michelle of Green Hills. She was caller number 9, picks up that family 4-pack of tickets to see the Syrian Shrine Circus, which is February 3rd, 4th, and 5th, coming to BBT and Arena. And, of course, great cause, great event. Get your tickets early and join us to help support the Shriners Hospital.
And what's your role over there? Would you say Sunday?
Sunday, I'll be the ring announcer, but we'll also be there Friday. It's all Masons night, so a lot of the lodges are going to be parading in. And
do you have one of those tall hats?
I do. A fez.
What do they call it? A fez?
A fez.
Mm-hmm. I heard a pez unit, not a fez.
Fez.
Fuzz, fez. I didn't know that.
Yep.
Now, are there any markings on the hat that's important?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really? See, I didn't know that.
I may bring it in next week because we're going to give away another 4-pack next week. I'll bring my fez in for you.
There you go. You need to take a picture with the fez. I like that. I was just curious. You know, I also want to, well, they have elephants there because you're fond of the elephants.
I am fond of elephants, and I think they still have one or two. I know Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey and a couple of the other places have retired their elephants, but I don't know if the Syrian Shrine or the Shrine Circus has. But there'll be animal acts and jugglers and clowns. You got to have, if there's a shrine involved, you got to have a clown.
I don't think clowns are, I don't think they're faring too well right now.
Oh, they're doing great. Okay. Got rid of the creepy clown.
And do you have like the motorcycle riders inside this sphere?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, that would be something cool for you to do.
Oh, yeah.
I can see you in there in the old blue 92.
Yeah, that would be fun. No, it wouldn't.
No? Okay. But you touched on something a second ago, all kidding aside. Definitely go down to Bud Herbert Motors if you need to take in some of your your lawn equipment, your mower, your string trimmer, your leaf blower. Let this guy tune it up, change the plugs, clean out the fuel lines, all the necessary stuff. So your equipment is functioning properly when it comes time. We're not far away. We're already in 2017. We're at the end of last summer and then going into the fall. And we always say, wow, it's hard to believe we're in fall.
Mm-hmm.
We're in winter. It's not, spring will be knocking on our door before long.
We mentioned this earlier last year, you know, how quickly time will fly, how we get distracted by something and then all of a sudden it's on us. And that's how we talked a little bit about the fall season. And so we want you to be prepared. And that's what we're going to dedicate our show to, is making sure you're ready for the season.
Need you to get ready, that's for sure. And, you know, also Bud Herbert Motors, they offer a pickup service for larger types of mowers and riding mowers.
Oh, so I didn't know that.
Keep that in mind as well.
Yeah.
And also, our good friend Danny Schwab over on the west side of town,
yeah,
at Schwab's Nursery, he has an equipment facility that works on steel equipment and so forth, and they tune up lawn mowers and sharpen blades. So I don't want to forget about our friends over at Schwab's either. So, you know, and our good friends out at Crescent Springs Hardware is what, mm-hmm, I want to say.
Yeah.
So get those things taken care of. This is the perfect time to do it. And I wanted to ask you, I think that you have a workbench, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What on that workbench is your most valuable or favorite part of it or tool?
Oh, it's got to be the, I just lost my train of thought.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The vice. Sorry.
Yeah, you need good advice, you go to the vice, right? You know, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that's certainly a must have.
Well, the wire wheel too is
have to have a wire wheel.
Yeah.
I use that thing for everything.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a wire wheel.
Yep.
If you don't have the motor to put it on, mount it on, you can simply do this as well. You can buy a wire wheel that fits into an electric drill or a cordless drill.
Sure.
And use that as well. So don't think that you're all out or you don't have an opportunity or a chance because you don't have the old quarter horsepower, half horsepower motor or whatever,
right.
to mount that wire brush on. But that's my favorite tool.
You can clean
your tools with that, your pruners with it, mm-hmm, oil them up, and all is well.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than coming across the tool that you may have forgotten about or you set down somewhere. It gets a little rusty or cruddy, or you've been using it to dig up the dirt, and you don't want to throw it away. It's too valuable. So you get that wire wheel going, clean that baby up, and then coat it with a little WD-40,
even linseed oil. It doesn't matter. Just as long as it's an oil-based product, will definitely increase the longevity of your tools. Taking care of your tools is very, very important. And always buy a good tool.
Mm-hmm.
Don't buy something inexpensive or cheap. Don't let the pocketbook always talk for you or speak for you or make decisions for you. There's a time and place for that, right, Ernie?
That's exactly right.
You know, what you're saying about buying tools?
That the most expensive tool you'll buy is the cheap one.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I thought maybe you were thinking of a fool with a tool is still a fool.
Yeah, that one's always true.
Yeah. I've kind of exemplified that myself a couple of times. So that's a true story.
I like the one where you had the hammer drill in reverse for about a half hour.
Oh, man.
Talk about that one.
Oh, yeah. It was awful. Borrowed a hammer drill from my brother Cliff to drill some pilot holes where we were going to break up the concrete to put a drain. And I'm glad I did it.
What, ran it in reverse?
No, but put this drain by the water heater. Mm-hmm. Because shortly I got that completed, true story, is the water heater went out. And it drained just exactly where it was. But I spent almost all day trying to drill these pilot holes and then happened to just look down. I was getting frustrated and noticed that the bit was rolling in reverse. And so it was amazing how much quicker it was to get done when it was operating properly.
That's why they always have checklists.
Yeah.
Gear down, check. Flaps, check. Airspeed, check.
All that stuff, though.
Drill going in the right direction, check.
Yeah. Call Cliff. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Make sure you jump on our Facebook page. We've got that those pictures of my my project downstairs, and you can follow along, check out the progress there. And we need to pause for a moment, and we'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we've covered a lot of ground today, talked a little bit about some of your lawn care resolutions or your landscaping resolutions, my little project downstairs, some things that Tony's got going on. And we want to share a little more info for with you before we get out of here today.
Oh, most definitely. And I really want to drive this home in such a way that I really want you to think about this. If you have some big projects going on this upcoming spring when it comes to landscaping, I want you to either get in touch with Maddox Garden Center out there in Florence, 859-371-6340. Get a hold of Scott. Tell Scott you heard it on the radio here that free design consultation there. So I'm just trying to help you get ahead of the game. And also our good friend Bob from Barge Nursery over in Amelia. That's 513-752-9355. As a matter of fact, Bob will be in the studio next week in my absence. So get a hold of Bob. See if you can get a special request and see if Clint will come out and help with that design. That's Bob's dad. Thanks, Tony.
Yeah.
But definitely want you to get a jump on the season. And if you have some things you want to take care of this year and you're not going to do it yourself, these are two guys I have the utmost respect for. They're part of the community, and they do a great job, and you won't go wrong. Right, Ernie?
Correct.
You won't go wrong.
No. 749-B105, in and around the house. Looking forward to working with Bob. He usually sits in for me when I'm out, so it's going to be a good time, and going to be great to get things started. Welcome to 2017. And join us every Saturday morning, 6 in the morning to 9 here at B105. You can email us in and around the house at B105.com. And certainly look us up and like us on our Facebook page. We like to share stuff with our listeners. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next week.